Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As I welcome you here today, I want to remind you where we are in the Bible as we uncover something magnificent about the character of the living God. God is sovereign. And the matter of God being sovereign always comes up when we study the book of Job, because we want to know, how could a good and loving God allow for this kind of suffering in the life of one of his most faithful servants? As we leave the book of Job, we're going to spend some time on God's sovereignty. And you may or may not remember that way back when we first began, I read from Job chapters 1 and 2, when God says to Satan, quote, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Here is how I commented on that way back in the introduction to the book of Job. I said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" What kind of a question is this? I'll tell you. This is the question that answers any question you have ever asked when you suffer as a servant of the living God. I said when we learn what God means by asking this question, we will have learned something extraordinary about the character of the living God. And what I meant is that we would learn about God's sovereignty. So now, linking the beginning of the story of Job to the end of Job's story, let's do this. Let's dig into the Bible and learn about the sovereignty of God. As I prepare to tell you something about the sovereignty of God, it is important to me that you know this is a big subject. And so what I will have to say is a drop in the bucket compared to the vast ocean of biblical water this dimension of God offers us. I have personally been very interested in this dimension to the character of God, and I am constantly reading and studying who God is in this regard. This month, I will not be able to get into an in-depth study of God's sovereignty. What I hope to do is give you a taste and then return to this sometime in the future. In a sense, every time we talk about God, we talk about his sovereignty, so we're constantly at it. Just read the Bible and you will see he is sovereign in his being, and his sovereignty always accompanies his acts and words. God cannot help but to be sovereign. That is just who he is. As promised on Friday, here is my simple definition of the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God means that God does whatever he pleases. How about that for being concise? The sovereignty of God means God does whatever he pleases. This is what Job said. Remember, "I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." That is Job chapter 42 and verse 2. Job said to God, "I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." The word thwarted there means prevented. We could say stopped. But Job believed that no purpose of God can be thwarted, prevented, and stopped by us. God does whatever he pleases, and we have to accept his will. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to share with you two primary Old Testament scriptures that prove God does whatever he pleases and no person can stop him. Later, I think this week, but we'll have to see based on time, I will take you also into the New Testament. But let's start in the Old. The first scripture I want to share is just one verse. The second is really a whole chapter, but we will start with one verse. I hope that you'll download this podcast and or be with me here on KDIA, KGMS, and KLNG every day this week at this time. Let's learn together about the sovereignty of God. The clearest example of God doing whatever he pleases is Psalm chapter 115, verse 3. I do not have the words to say how much I value Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. If you want only one scripture by which to remember what God's sovereignty is, Psalm 115:3 is your scripture. But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Question: why does God do what God does? Answer: he does what pleases him. That's why. That's it. In a sense, that's it. Period. End of discussion. You and I can sit together and lament what is happening in our lives, or the lives of people we love and care deeply about. And we can question God. We can wonder about God. We can become disappointed in God. We, like Job, can accuse God, and we can propose to one another all sorts of reasons for why God is doing what he is doing. But in the end, we are left with this: God does whatever he pleases. I have given you Psalm 115, verse 3. Listen also to Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. This is the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 4 and verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but God does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to God, "What have you done?" Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. This is a very insightful verse regarding God's sovereignty. And do you know who said this? Not Daniel. These words are in quotes in our Bibles because Daniel is quoting King Nebuchadnezzar. Oh yes, the book of Daniel is fascinating for many reasons, but one of them has to be what happened to this man Nebuchadnezzar. As you may already know, he was the king of Babylon who conquered the Jewish people in Judah, destroying Jerusalem and taking the Jews captive into Babylon. Reading the Bible, we find that this Nebuchadnezzar is the best known of all the pagan kings or monarchs. He sets his face and the power of his rule and his kingdom against God and against God's people. If you know the Bible, then you know King Nebuchadnezzar. This is quite the conclusion that Nebuchadnezzar makes about the living God, in part because Nebuchadnezzar was not a godly man. He was an enemy of God. However, as usual, in order to understand one verse of the Bible, we have to understand its context. And that means we will do well to go back to the start of Daniel chapter 4. Now, do not worry, I'm not going into a verse-by-verse study here. But I do want to highlight several verses for you and your understanding of the sovereignty of God that emerges in just this one chapter in the book of Daniel. As we do this, keep the big picture in mind. I'm proving to you biblically that God's sovereignty means God does whatever he pleases. And I will draw all this together this week and bring us back to Job and make practical application to your life and to mine. As chapter 4 opens in the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar is going to give his testimony of what God has done for him and what lessons the living God has taught Nebuchadnezzar. Here is how the chapter is structured. Nebuchadnezzar speaks, reflecting on what happened to him. Then we read about what has happened to him. Then Nebuchadnezzar testifies again, which includes verse 35 that I have already read for us. Typically, when we hear someone tell us about what God has done for them, they start with the story of what happened, then reflect on who God is. But here, Nebuchadnezzar makes some statements about who God is, then tells us why he says this about God. If you follow along with me in the reading, this will all become clear to you, and I will start with verses 1 through 3. I am reading now the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language that live on all the earth, may your peace abound. It has seemed good to me to declare the signs and wonders which the Most High God has done for me, How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. That was Daniel 4, verses 1 through 3, read from the New American Standard Bible. That's the NASB translation of the text. Well, the king is making a declaration. The king, to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language that live on all the earth. Then he tells the peoples, may your peace abound. That's how he starts. And what he says will be about God and what God has done for him. He calls God the Most High God. This is how we know he is speaking of the only God, the God of the Bible. Christians, this is our God. Verse 3, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Let's pause here. Right there, we have the sovereignty of God. God's dominion is from generation to generation. Dominion, that is sovereignty and control. God dominates. Even in the English language, look up dominion in a dictionary and find it defined with the words sovereignty and control. And who has that? God does. King Nebuchadnezzar is acknowledging the sovereignty, the dominion of God over every generation here at the beginning of the chapter. Note this in the margin of your Bible. Highlight it and get it written down in your notes, if you would. We're going to return here tomorrow, as we're soon out of time for today. God's sovereignty. This is what we're defining, and this has taken us to Daniel chapter 4. I encourage you to read this chapter tonight, Daniel 4, and then join me tomorrow as we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.